We're talking about feelings. Somebody say feelings. Okay. And the Holy Spirit started ministering to me that there was a problem in the body of Christ. How many know that stuff in the world can sometimes come into the church? Is that not right? So, you know what? We have these beautiful trees out here, and they drop leaves, and next thing you know, we got all kinds of leaves in the sanctuary. So I tell the interns, when you get the blower out and you're blowing off, I don't want you to just blow out the sidewalk. I want you to blow off the sidewalk, but what I want you to do is then I want you to blow the leaves. They're real small little leaves. I want you to blow those 5 feet from the sidewalk. So there's less of these leaves coming in as you come in. Does that make sense? We need to blow off wrong thinking far away from us. And what I want you to understand is that your feelings don't have to control you. Amen. But see, we don't think that way. We have, in our society, we have exalted feelings. If you feel that way, it is what it is. And matter of fact, if you dare even question how I feel about it, I'm going to get in your face. How dare you to even question how I feel, because how I feel is how I feel. And now I'm feeling upset because you're questioning how I feel. Amen. Someone is going to be in control. But if you start to allow, somebody say start to allow. Somebody say start to allow. It doesn't happen overnight, but you start to allow your feelings to dictate what you do, then you're going to be in trouble. One time Tyler was little. We went to Magic Mountain. I used to take the kids to Magic Mountain. And he was little, but he was tall enough to get on Goliath. And how many know that is a crazy ride? Amen. It's one of the first rides, just crazy cool. And I remember we got out of that ride, and I said, Tyler, what do you think? He was just little. I said, Tyler, what do you think? And he said, Dad, it made my face go like this. I laugh so hard. How many know? Here's what I'm saying. If you get on, your feelings are going to control you, which I would say is where most believers are nowadays. You're going to get on a roller coaster that you are going to want off. Because your life is going all over the place. You know what I mean? All over the place. And the problem is, you don't have to get on that ride. Amen? How many know you can get out of line? You can get out of line. You can say, no. I don't want my feelings to control me. Number one, write this down. Feelings can't control your life. And for the most people, they do. Feelings can control your life. And for most people, they do. I mean, no, the Bible says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And many are there who go by it. But you don't have to. You can be the few. Who wants to be the few today? Who wants to get out of the line that allows your feelings to dictate? How many recognize you have put yourself in a position where your feelings have led you in places that when you got there, you thought, how in the world did I get there? How many would raise their hand and say, that's absolutely true, Pastor? Well, you came to the right day, amen? Because we need to be free out of this. We need to, and if you're free, you're going to get freer today, amen? And if you're not free, you're going to get a revelation knowledge that you can be free from this. Amen. Stephen Redbird writes in Psychology Today, we do not choose to feel depressed. We do not choose to feel depressed and cannot opt to feel happy. Recent article out of Psychology Today, and this well-known author says, psychologist says, you know what? We don't choose to feel depressed, and we can't opt out to be happy. And we sit there and go, oh, yes. Because we look at all the degrees and all the things, and you think, man, that's right, man. I remember this. And I didn't even know why. I just woke up sad. I didn't even know why. See, I can't control it. Well, let me ask you a real deep question. Did you choose what you wanted to wear today? How many of you got up and you're like, man, look what I got on. I don't know how that happened, amen? Come on, somebody. How many chose to come to church today, amen? You're like, man, I don't even know what happened. All of a sudden, I was just sitting here in worship. I was like, how did I get here? What's going on? How many know that didn't happen to you? See, here's what I'm setting you up. How many know you make choices in your life all the time? How many know who chose what you're going to put on? Amen. Sometimes I'll come upstairs. I told you this before. One time I came upstairs. It was Easter. And Easter, man, I went downstairs, you know what, and put on some real nice clothes. Man, I was looking fine. Thank you, my brother. Amen. I appreciate the encouragement. I was looking fine. And I came upstairs, man. I was thinking, man, my wife's going to be all over me right now. Come on, don't be jealous. And she wasn't all over me. Actually, she was all over me, but she was all over me to get my silly clothes. Boy, where's this going, honey? Do you remember what I was wearing? It was silly, though, huh? You blocked it out. Cody, I can hardly believe that. I can hardly even believe she said that. Okay. But I recognize she is smarter than I am. And I, you know what, she said that. Trust me, Pastor. Take that off. But for the most part, you know what, I pick what I'm going to wear. For the most part. But how many recognize, how many picked what you were going to wear today? Raise your hand if you picked what you're going to say all over. You make, see, and then the psychologists want to tell you, oh, but your feelings, you can't choose. Mm-mm. How many recognize you can feel some things, but you can make some choices to feel better? One of my favorite preachers says, you know what? How many know just a good chili cheese dog can change your attitude? Come on, say amen to that. It's true. It's true. You know what? You can put on some music, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, you just, you know what? I heard a Bee Gees song the other day. And I got happy, man. I just heard a Bee Gees song, amen? It was just, you don't like the Bee Gees? Don't be a hater, amen? Who's the Bee Gees? Oh, my goodness. Look at, Google it, amen? Okay, but here's... We are digressing. Here's my point. My point is, listen, you can make, I'm not saying that you don't have feelings that will crop up and you think, man, why do I feel this way? Here's what I'm saying. You're responsible for your life. And what happens is, watch this, your feelings, will dictate. How many ever felt some way and you said it? Oh, we're going somewhere with this. See, I want to get out the lie that says you are out of control. See, most people, their feelings will cause their life to be completely out of control. And they've never had anybody tell them, wait a minute. You can control your life. But you have to take responsibility. This is the day that the Lord has made. Watch this. I will. Somebody say will. Well, what if you're not happy? Well, did God make the day anyway? See, I'm getting way ahead of myself. But listen, if you will, everything that you think, the Bible says you have to take control of every thought. Somebody say every thought. And if you will start to, what are you doing? You are qualifying your thinking to the Word of God. Because a lot of times when you feel these feelings, they will be connected to your tongue and you'll start saying these crazy things. You know, there's people that have a good job. They have a good job. But that job is whatever in, you know, far away. Maybe it's in the valley, Canoga Park or something. And they've got transferred and they have a good job and it's a good paying job and good atmosphere and good. But they have to get on the freeway and drive, you know, an hour and 15 minutes to Canoga Park. And they're just like, Amen. I heard one guy say this. He said, you know what? If you don't control your life, your feelings can cause you to get a divorce, to get fired from your job, you know what, to have bad relationships in all kinds of areas in your life. Your life can be miserable if you allow how you feel to dictate, if you allow your feelings not to be qualified. It happened all the time. You used to go in the grocery store. You know what I mean? I mean, go in the grocery store. I worked in the grocery store. And I'd go in, and I'd be like, hey, you know what? I'm happy. Why? Because are you kidding me? If the only reason to be happy is because Jesus Christ took away all my sin, I should be happy every single day of my life. Can you say amen? So I walk in the grocery store, I'm happy. Amen. Why I'm happy? Well, I got a lot of things to be happy about. But I'm happy to have a good job. Amen. Amen. So but the same job that I have, the person next to me, and 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 the person next to me is all complaining about how their job sucks. I'm sorry, what sucks about it? Oh, yeah, the air conditioning that is on, amen? It's 95 degrees, but it's you know, 70 degrees inside. Oh, is that it? Oh, your pay. Oh, is that what you're complaining about? You got a union job. How many know there wasn't a lot of skill level? I'm not trying to, you know, I mean, I'm just saying. Took me 2 hours to be trained, amen? How'd you get trained? Beep, beep. Beep, I got it. Amen. I got this. You got a good paying job. You know what? You're in air conditioning. You know what I mean? I mean, I was like, what are you complaining about? We can be in good situations, but we're focused on the wrong thing. And it'll grab, and you got to grab your feelings and say, you know what? Why are you so downcast? You got to look at yourself and say, what is your problem today? Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. What is your problem today? That's what David said. Why are you so downcast? But your feelings can control your life, and for most people, they do. And they put them in a position, you know what? I mean, you know. See, listen, I'm married to a fine lady. Smart, intelligent, kind. Gracious. She's like Mary Poppins. She's practically perfect in every way. But how many know she's not perfect in every way? And I can start thinking about, well, you know what? This bugs me, and that bugs me, and this bugs me, and that bugs me. You know what I mean? All this stuff bugs me. Well, how foolish is that? And there's couples who spend so much time, you know what, focusing on what their spouse's problem is. How many know your spouse has problems? Amen? Don't say amen too loud. You said amen too loud, honey. That yeah was too quick. Amen? It does bug me. That's one of the, yeah, there you go. So how many know that stuff happens? And what's going on in your life? See, most people, they're out of control. And they're out of control because they have been fed the lie that, you know what, they can't control their life. I'm not saying that you don't have feelings. I'm saying that you have to take those feelings and present them. Every thought, you have to say, no, 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 I'm not going to allow this to stay in my mind. You put whatever you want in your mind. You know why in our confession we say, you know what, this is my Bible. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. My mind, what's the next line? My mind is alert. Who put that in there? Jesus didn't write this. I wrote it. Why did I put my mind is alert? Because I know I can preach the most awesome sermon in the world, and you're so busy thinking about chimichangas that you got none of it. No, amen. Let's focus on what we're teaching today. Does that make sense? And what I'm saying is the things that go in your mind, you can control. Listen to me, every single one of you. When I start to teach the word, you need to make a decision. I ain't going to miss nothing that he says today. Because the Bible says, when the word is preached, Satan comes immediately to steal the word as the sown. He's trying to get you to think about chimichangas, amen? And let me tell you what, a good chimichanga ain't going to, Pioneer High School, sorry. I mean, no, we've got to take our lives back. Say, most people is not me. Say, I can't afford. Come on, somebody say this. I can't afford to allow my feelings to control my life. All right, are you learning something? How many glad you came? Let's go to this passage and I'll back up. For the wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. It made me so, I feel so angry. Oh, that's nice. What does that produce? See, we have to start recognizing, wait a minute, if I continue to go down this road of negativity, it's not going to put me in a place I want. That's how James says it. The wrath of man, what's the wrath of man? You know, you freaking out every time, you know what, somebody, you know, is driving too slow. Hey, you know what, up yours and all this stuff. Where are you getting that? Amen? Because let me tell you where that's not coming. It's not coming from the Spirit of God. Amen? And it's not going to produce, you know what? It doesn't produce the righteousness of God. This right standing of God. This, watch this, this atmosphere. What do you think your kids are listening to? As you're freaking out because they're going 10 miles too slow. Amen? Watch this. Let's back it up. What's it say before that? James 1:19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man. Oh, let's stop there. Amen? Can we stop there? Guess what every man means? Say every man. Say this. Say every man means God is talking to me. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Somebody say slow to speak.
Slow to speak.
We're going to get there in a minute. Allowing some time between how you feel and acting on those feelings is an essential component to having a good life. Allowing some time, somebody say some time, between, space, between how you feel and acting on those feelings. See, you might feel a way, but you don't have to act on those feelings. You don't have to act on those feelings. And if you'll start putting the Word of God, if you'll start what I instructed you last week, start putting praise in, you know what, start getting around people, you know what, better people around your life, not so many knuckleheads. Bible says, don't sit at the seat of the scornful. Then, you know what, come to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. Start to listen to one of my sermons every day. What you think we, like, I just had an extra bumper sticker, and I'm like, oh, man, I don't know what to put on that thing. I'll put on that thing there. No, this is not a bumper sticker for my car. This was created for you to look at every single minute that I'm preaching, that I'm behind this. My advertisement. Are you catching it? Catch it. See, what I want you to do is I want you to do what they did in the book of Acts. I want you to sit at your spiritual leader's feet every day. And that might sound egotistical on my part. Trust me, and it's not. It's understanding delegated authority. It's understanding the family of God. It's understanding proper spiritual parenthood. You don't need to listen to me twice a week. You need to put the Word of God in every single day. Amen. Every single day. Listen, you want to see some beautiful feet? My feet are beautiful whether I go and have a pedicure or whether I don't. Is pedicure on the feet? Just checking, amen. Just checking. My feet are beautiful because I'm the one who brings the good news. Amen. I bring the gospel. And I'm not just any pastor. I'm your pastor. Which I'm not saying, listen, I love all pastors. But I'm different to you because I'm your pastor. We've taken authority, we've taken, what's the word I'm trying to look for? Honor, and we've thrown it out. And when we threw out honor, we threw out the baby with the bathwater. Amen. Like, oh, dude, you know what? You know, my pastor's okay, but I mainly listen to this person. Well, you know what? Stop it. I don't mind if you listen to somebody as long as they're teaching the Word of God. Amen. But you know why we have a book table? Because I got tired of Christians, people in this flock, you know what, going to Christian bookstore and getting books that the author believes that Jesus sends people to heaven and Jesus sends people to hell. And it's him the one who picks that. I'm like, whoa. Huh? And you're taking that book, you know what? Because you're, you know, somebody, you just thought it was a good book. You want a good book? Go back there and pick one of those books. Yeah, amen. Amen? You want to listen to good preaching? Here it is. www.discoverhope.us. Amen? Amen? Amen. But you've got to allow some time. You know what? That reaction, that in you know what I mean? It's going to get you in all kinds of messes. To be slow to speak, to let some separation between that initial thought, that initial feeling, that initial, you know what? And then between them, then the Holy Spirit says, nothing. Why don't you be grateful? They're not perfect. They're not Jesus. Stop putting them. Jesus said, you know what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. All of a sudden, these passages can come to you. You're thinking, man, I don't need, you know what? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You know what? Judge not. Why are you judging them anyway? Amen? Can you cut them some slack instead of stop being self-righteous? Yeah, but I don't have that problem. Well, you got problems they don't have. Well, you know, what about that? Amen? What about that? You know, what's up with that? You know, you're going to judge everything according to what you do? And then what you do wrong, you're going to forget all that? No. Why don't you cut them some slack like Jesus cut you some slack? Amen. Man, that would be, hey, how many know if we just did that in church? How many know? I'm just saying. Can I speak the truth? How many know if all we did that in just in church, people would enjoy coming to church more? See, if we can create a community of hope, a community of faith, a community of non-judging. And let me tell you about non-judging. Non-judging doesn't mean that we're not going to preach the uncompromised word of God. I'm not going to say something that is evil is not evil in this church when the Bible clearly says it's evil. It ain't going to happen, amen? If you're looking for that kind of church, God help you, amen? Because then you become you become your own God. It is, you know what? Righteousness is whatever you say righteousness is. Oh my goodness. We how many know we can justify anything in our life? And all of a sudden, this behavior is okay because we found 8 people that think it's okay. No. That's not going to happen in this church. But can we just recognize, can we allow other people to have some time to grow up in their faith? Amen. Just like God is giving us some time to grow up in our faith. Amen. To do that, you got to give yourself some space. Somebody say space. Space. Say slow to speak. Oh my goodness, God is so good. Are you learning something? Amen. Number 3. Allowing some time between how you feel and acting on those feelings is essential for a good life. That was number 2. Okay, that was good. Repetition is motive learning. Just okay. Yeah. Number 3, understanding God is love and that you are the recipient. What's a recipient? A person, recipient. A person or thing that receives or is awarded something. That's you are. You're going to receive and you're going to get this reward. You are the recipient. You are the person. What do you receive? God's love. That's what you get. You get God's love. Oh, here. You get God's love. Tell me you get God's love. That's who you are. And for you to start understanding that you're that person who is rewarded something of his love is essential to you having a good life. Amen. So you have to understand the goodness of God. Because if you don't, when you start understanding the goodness of God, you will start understanding that God's focus, you know, people say like, oh, it's not about you. Well, I get that. But really, it's all about you. Are you kidding me? It's all about you. God creates a monkey and God creates a giraffe and God creates a cow and God creates, you know what, all these things. But when it comes to you, when it comes to man, he's like, oh, no, this isn't good. This is very good. No one was made in the likeness of God except you. So you have to understand, God, listen, God is good. Why is this so important? Because, watch this, I'm going to tie it together. Stay with me. Remember when David says, why so downcast? Put your trust in God. See, David had to understand in the midst of enemies all around him that God was going to whip up on those enemies. Hello? God is going to make your enemies, you know what, a footstool. That's what's going to happen. And so you getting all upset. See, I will leave almost all of our anger and all our bitterness and all of our unforgiveness and all of these yuck, junk, corrupt feelings stem from a non-trust that God really loves us and he's going to take care of us. That's what they stem from. And so you've got to understand God is love and that you are the main recipient of that love. It's like, hey. See, if we understood this, every day of our life, we're like, what you doing? How you doing? I'm doing great. How you doing today? I'm doing great. You know, you have a flat tire. You know what I mean? How you doing? I'm doing great. Do you understand? So I got to fix this flat tire. I mean, life is life. Amen. It's like people get all freaked out of life. Hey, welcome to life. Amen. Really, get over it. Stop complaining about life. You're going to have flat tires, and it's going to rain sometimes and mess up your hair, and you know what, and whatever, and you're going to, you know what, and you're going to drop your iPhone, and it's going to break. Welcome to life, amen? But why in the world are you allowing that to dictate that you don't think God is good to you? Because when it comes down to it, you know what, you're being upset the day, you know what, it's costing you way too much. You're allowing your feelings to get you on this roller coaster. You want to be, get off, get out of line. You don't have to be in that line. Amen? Can we go a little deeper? I'm asking, can we go a little deeper? Let's just look at this passage just for a second in a little bit more detail. Why so downcast, O my soul? And why are you so disquieted with me? Hope in God. For I shall. Look what David comes up with. For I shall. Somebody say, I shall. See, this is David taking his feelings, and he's taking his feelings and saying, get over here. Do you understand? Sometimes you got to pull yourself by your own ear and say, get over here. That's what he's saying. I shall yet praise him. I don't care about my circumstances. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to start praising God. It was one of my main points last week or 2 weeks ago. You need to turn on the praise. For I shall praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Who's going to help your countenance? Countenance, how you feel, how you are, how you're, you know what? Are you bubbly? Are you like, man, get out of my face today? Hello? It's like, oh, get out of my face today. No, what is that? Okay, can we go a little deeper still? Point four. Your feelings control your words. Your words control your actions, and your actions control your life. Wow. Let's break this down. Your feelings control your words. How many recognize when you allow your feelings to dictate what's going on, you will say some crazy things out of your mouth? Come on, I need some honest people in the church. How many recognize you're going to say something? And we need to make this connection because our words control your life. You don't believe me? Read James. The Bible says in James that the course of your life is set on fire. You know how? By your words. And your words control your actions. You know what? You're going to Domino's Pizza today. Why are you going to Domino's Pizza? Oh, because I don't want to eat pizza. I'm just going there. No. You're going there because you want a pizza. Amen?
That's right.
Is that not right?
Yes. That's
right. Why? Because you felt like, man, you even see this. What do you feel like eating?
I feel like eating a pizza.
You're not in Domino's Pizza because you want to eat a taco. Amen. See, listen, that's a very simple illustration, but your words will control your actions. All of a sudden, you just hate your job. You hate your job. You hate your job. Well, you've been talking about that freeway traffic every single day. Every single time you complain about it 4 times a day. You're not thinking, man, you know, I got to drive, but praise God, I don't make any difference. You know what? I got Pastor Drew on my iPhone, and I listen to, you know, I review his preaching all the time. And by the time I get to work, he's just like, oh, I love it. Hello? How many of your car can become, you know what, Hope University? You know what I mean? See, it's what do you want to do? But you're complaining. That's why many people get divorced. Because they don't have control of their feelings. And they just complain about their spouse. They complain about their spouse so much that finally they're like, man, I just hate your guts. No, really. They say that too. You know, in divorce court, sometimes it's like, man, we just got to separate these two because they will kill each other. The same person, they're like, man, I love you. I never wanted to. You know, when they got married, now they absolutely hate each other. Well, you're going to hate anything that you keep on focusing on the negative. You're going to hate anybody like that. Anything. Are you learning something today? See, your feelings, if you allow them to control your words, you're going to be in big trouble. Amen. The Bible says, with your mouth, James says, you shouldn't bless men, bless God and curse men. No. Out of our mouth, the Bible says this, should not come sweet and bitter water. Does that know what it says? No. What should come out of our mouth? Just sweet. Look at your neighbor and say, just sweet. Okay. Now smile at him. Just say, just sweet. Sweet in the morning, sweet at night. You know, well, I'm just cranky in the morning. Yeah, you are, man. You absolutely are. And you just keep, I'm cranky in the morning. I'm cranky in the morning. I'm cranky. Listen, you have just given you an excuse to treat your family bad till 10 o'clock. And it's true. And my thought is, I bet if I followed you around, it would go. You'd go from 10 to 11 to 12 to 1. And in 8 years, man, you just hate your whole family. Amen. It's like, I always hate. They do this and they do this and they do this. And I just hate them all. That I just cranky in the morning. Just how I am. Well, stop it. Listen to me. Stop it. Stop it. You got no business acting like that. Amen. I'm still smiling, aren't I? Amen. Look what James says. Even so, the tongue, a little member, boasts great things. See how great a forest, a fire, it kindles. Man, your tongue can be very harmful. Watch this. No man can tame the tongue. See, we can't tame the tongue. Well, wait a minute. That's by yourself. It is an unruly evil. If that was true, then why does Paul later on, we're going to look at it in a minute, or what does James later on say, you know what, you shouldn't spew out both bitter and fresh. Why? Because controlled by the Holy Spirit, you can control your life. Amen. Look what it says. Look what it says. With it we bless God, our Father, and with it we curse men. We have made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, see, people who are filled by the Holy Spirit, these things ought not be so. What's he saying? Don't do that. Stop it. Don't think that you can't, through empowered by the Holy Spirit, control what you say. Does a spring set forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Of course it doesn't. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapefruit bear figs? Thus, no spring brings forth salt and fresh. Who is wise with understanding among you? Oh, that's a great question. Let him be slow. Let him show by what? By what? By what? That his works are done in meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Oh, it's not my fault. Liar. That's what he's saying. Stop lying against the truth. That's not true. Why in the world do you think the Apostle Paul says you should take every thought captive if you couldn't do it? Like, man, I don't know. I just don't know why. No, you're lying. Hey, man, I'm still smiling. Do not boast and lie against the truth. You're boasting, you're thinking, no, I'm right, and the Bible's wrong. Here, I pick the Bible. Amen. Amen. That's not even true. This wisdom does not ascend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. There's this stuff going on, and you're allowing it to go on in your home, in your heart, in your life, in your words. And then what happens is your words enforce your feeling, and your feelings spew both more words, which enforces how you feel. And pretty soon, you can't even, eight people can't argue with you. Because you're a legend in your own mind. And everyone's wrong except you. Is this making sense? Wow, doesn't the word nail us in a good way? Amen, I love it. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing is there. Please understand the context of what he's saying here. He's talking about somebody who won't allow the Holy Spirit to control how they speak. And it's your feelings that are controlling that. And if you would just start judging how you feel and say, this is not okay for me. I'm not justified. Well, you make me so mad. Oh my goodness. Do you see it? Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Now, what is the wisdom from above? You have that. The Bible says that that God is pouring his love in your heart. You got that. You might not choose to submit to it. Listen, you got a black dog and you got a white dog. And they're the same size, born the same day. You know what? Who wins the fight? Who are you feeding the most? Whoever you're feeding the most, they're going to win.
That's right. Come on.
And if you keep on feeding your carnal feelings, I'm telling you what, you're going to blow up and it's going to be everybody's fault. And hey, get over yourself. Amen. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. Wow. Gentle. Peaceable, pure, whole, willing to yield. Wow, this is good. Can we let it soak in a little bit? Willing to yield. I've got to have my way. Oh, that's not wisdom from above. That what is that kind of wisdom? Demonic. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. It's demonic. Full of mercy. What's mercy? See, sometimes we just read the Bible. We don't even know what it says. What is mercy? Full. Everybody say full of mercy. Mercy is when you get something. You deserve something, but he doesn't give it to you. You deserve it. Maybe you have a spouse and they deserve it, but you don't give it to them anyway. You caught them red-handed. But instead of giving them indignation for their corruptness, you just go, it's okay. I forgive you. I've done stupid things too. Oh, man, that's mercy. and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. Are you learning something? How many is God reading your mail today? Raise your hand if God reading your mail today. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Wow, so good. My last point, and I'll close with this. But I got time to do it, so I'm going to do it. So look at this passage. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout." How many know what preceded this? Okay, so let me tell you. This is when they go into Jericho. He's given this direction by God. This is how you're going to take the city. These people, even though they had been in the wilderness for 40 years, they had no army. The first city that they are to take is completely shut. It's got these walls. It's fortified. The defensive place, the walls would be so wide that they would have chariot races on the walls. So anybody who comes, you're looking down at them. You are in the advantage militaristically. And here's what they're told. We want you to march around the city 7 times. And then the 7th day, then we want you to shout. And how many recognize that is not a smart idea militarily to have the victory? Listen, let me give you another. Let's back up 40 years. Can we back up 40 years? Say your words are really important. Look at your neighbor, say your words are really important. Let's back up 40 years. 40 years prior to that, they are right ready to go into the land. They are right. The Israelites are ready to go into the promised land, land flowing with milk and honey. That means, you know what? There's bees that are going to fertilize all the plants. It's going to flourish, and there are going to be plenty of places where these cows can graze. So you're going to get milk, and you're going to get honey, and it's going to be good. Right? Watch this. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation and the children of Israel in the wilderness. Now here's what happened. Moses picks 12. They tell him, go out. 12. These are leaders. Somebody say leaders.
Leaders.
Leaders can be foolish too. Send the 12 leaders out. They see. Everybody say see. They see these enemies, and these enemies are bigger than they are. And they start to feel. Everybody say feel.
Fearful.
So here's what they say. They say, you know what? They brought back word. Everybody say word.
Word.
This is critical. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. But they didn't just show them the fruit of the land. They brought back word. Everybody say they brought back word.
Word.
Watch this. Next verse. And they told him and said, "We went to the land which you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruits." They showed him the fruits. Nevertheless, somebody say nevertheless. The people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. They're speaking, and these people are hearing. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Achan there. The Amalites dwell in the land of the south, and it goes through all the ites. Watch this. Next verse. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Let us go at once. Somebody say at once. See, if you do not take control of your emotions, they will turn into a mess. By nightfall, The word that they came back with, that they could not do this, had spread to all these other people. And you know what? And that word caused misery. That's why you can't sit at the seat of the scornful, because they will talk you out of the reality that God's word is true. Blessed is the man who doesn't sit at the seat of the scornful. Amen? But this is what they did. So 40 years later, they have another plan. And Caleb and Joshua is the one who says, let me tell you what you guys got to do. Don't say nothing. Sometimes you just have to shutteth your mouthith. Amen. And not allow you. I feel. Hey. Shh, be quiet. Because your feelings are about to drag you into a pit. And you won't walk into the promised land. Why are you so downcast? You know why you are? Because you're not putting your trust in God. You've allowed circumstance to dictate that that's how your life is going to be. And your life doesn't have to be that way. God's plans for you are for hope and a future. That's what God has plans for you. Somebody say, get out of line. You got to get out of line. You got to stop listening to the people who say, and allow your feelings to drag you here and drag you there and drag you all over the place. You're allowing your, and you're going to places you don't even want to go. But you've listened to psychologists who have told you that you can't control how you feel. Well, you can't control how you feel if you don't control how you think. You know, you let some pig in here, some wild pig in here. How many know? What's it going to do? It's just going to go wherever it wants and do whatever it wants all over the place, make a mess wherever it wants. You know what I mean? You can't do that. You have to say, no. No, as far as me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to allow what I see to convince me that God isn't for me. No, God is for me. And if he's for me, who can be against me? Yeah, but these things aren't changing. Listen, somebody say not a sound. Look at how specific he is. Look at this. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice. No noise with your voice. Amen? No noise with your voice. Stop it. Stop thinking that that kind of attitude can exist in your family. Get it out of your home. Got no place in your home. Not a sound. Because what you're going to do, you're just feeding how you feel and you're creating a monster. Next thing you know what? You're like, you have no idea why you're absolutely miserable. And God says, no, you don't have to live that life. Well, let me just get to the end of the story. You know what happens. You know what? They walk, and you tell me what day, that day one. You tell me, some of them are thinking, man, this is stupid. It don't even make sense. Like, well, yeah, what's going to happen? You're like, all these big walls are going to fall? It don't make any sense. Nope. Well, listen, we already did that 40 years ago. That kind of thinking kept us out of the promised land, and I'm not going to allow these people to allow how they feel to keep them out of the promised land. Not a sound. Not a sound day one, not a sound day two, not a sound day three, not a sound. Listen, you're in control. Why are we going, I just say whatever I want to say because that's what, no, because that's what you're used to doing. Your feelings and your words just are taking you, and you know, and you're not, no. Silencio, por favor. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, shout. Guess what? The walls, boom, went down. And they'll go down in your life. And they'll go down in your life. And they will go down in your life if you will start to exalt God's word above what you see, what you think, what you feel. And just say, no, as far as, no. I'm on God's side, amen? Listen, let me just tell you, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. All these people that, oh, God, not real. Oh, no. They're going to confess. They're all going to be on their face. Amen. But let's us get on our face now. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Did somebody learn something? Maybe you're in this room and maybe you haven't accepted Jesus in your heart. Maybe you're not even a Christian. You say, Pastor, I really enjoyed what you said. It made a lot of sense. I just want to get in that family. You don't know for sure. With every head bowed and every eyes closed. If you say, Pastor, I want to do that today. Raise up your hand. In 30 seconds, we're going to sing a simple prayer. We're going to ask Jesus in our heart. Jesus is going to come in our heart and change our life forever. If you want to do that, I want you to raise your hand right now. Right now. Yes, I see that hand. Who else? Who else? Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Who else? Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. All right. Let's pray. Just say this after me. Jesus, come in my heart. Change me from the inside out. I want to be a Christian. I'm tired of making my own decisions. I give you my life. And I take your righteousness. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, we believe if you prayed that prayer, we believe that Jesus came in your heart. We believe that now you're a Christian. Amen. Today's your spiritual birthday. Amen. Now, one more thing. If you said, you know what, Pastor, I've allowed my feelings to get out of control. Maybe a lot. Maybe for some of you, it's just a small adjustment. But something that was said spoke to you. I want you to raise your hand and say, Pastor, God spoke to me today. I want you to say, God spoke to me today. Will you pray this after me? Say, Jesus, I'm sorry that I have allowed my feelings to go renegade. I want to take every thought captive. I want to get out of that line. I want the joy of the Lord to be my strength. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Hey, how many glad you came today? Oh, let's raise our hands and thank God. God, we thank you for your word. Come on, somebody thank God. God, we thank you for your word. Your word is a light to our path. It's a lamp unto our feet. We thank you for speaking to us. Now I'm going to say a blessing over you. Can I speak a blessing over you? I call this congregation blessed. I confess what you said. I homologeo. I say they are the head and not the tail. I say they're above, not beneath. I say that you are making the crooked path straight. And Father, I thank you that this week is going to be a better week. This month is going to be a better month. And this year is going to be the best year of the rest of their life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.